I'm Chris Ruggiero, and this is Ex-Ambassadors.
Welcome to the Chris Ruggiero Podcast.
You're hearing their massive song, Jungle. This song and this band are just blowing up right now. I caught up with them on their tour with Andrew McMahon, and they were super awesome guys, and they killed it on stage. My new thing when I start interviews is to show my guests a magic trick, so you'll hear that at the beginning. I cut out the actual magic trick because it doesn't really work that well on an audio podcast, but that's how you'll hear it start. So here it is. Thank you guys for listening, Ex-Ambassadors.
Oh my god.
Oh shit.
Straight up professional, man.
That's crazy.
Wow. That's the best start to an interview we've had.
Yeah. Very, very, really and truly, I think we can say
that's
that.
A good icebreaker.
That was wild, man. Hell yeah.
Cool. Yeah, so I need to read this. Because especially for people maybe that are listening in that don't know who you guys are, this is from Wikipedia.
Oh, nice. Man. All right.
Most reliable source.
So we know it's true. You guys can chime in on this when I get finished, but I read this and it was crazy. So other appearances under your Wikipedia page. Jungle is featured in the reveal trailer of the video game Battlefield Hardline. It is also featured in the Beats by Dre 2014 World Cup commercial, the game before the game. WWE used the song in the commercial for the WWE shop and as the official theme song to the 2014 pay-per-view event Battleground. The song was also used in the film credits of Dwayne Johnson's Hercules film. A clip of the song was used during season 1, episode 16, Mako Taneda, I don't know how to say that.
Blacklist.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, of NBC's... Oh, that was the episode name. Of NBC's Blacklist. Yep. And further, the song has been used in promotional trailers for season 2 of Netflix's original series Orange is the New Black, the first official trailer for the movie Pitch Perfect 2, and also in the season 4 premiere of episode of MTV's original series Teen Wolf. It was also featured in the promo for episode of Supernatural. It is also played for the Detroit Lions while introducing the starting lineup for the 2014 season.
So it really hasn't been in that.
The only one that's not right is the Battlefield Heartland one. That's a different song by Jamie called Heart Karma. Which I co-wrote with him, but
Okay, so
it's
you
not
can
Jungle.
Still steal credit for that.
Yeah, well, Wikipedia is doing pretty good. I'm impressed.
Pretty good,
so that's amazing.
Yeah, thank you.
Do a little chat a little bit about that song. Like how did that come about and become something that everyone's just trying to use for their projects?
Well, it came about. I had written this hook over the track. And Alex and I had kind of had some back and forth with it. Alex, the kid who's the producer of the track, and we didn't really know what was going to happen with it. All I had was a chorus, and I kind of assumed that he was going to take it and shop it to somebody else, or maybe bring it to a rapper as like a hook for a rap song, because it has these, you know, it's a blues rock track, but it's got these very hip hop-y kind of like Rick Rubin 99 Problems, production, this production on it. And he hit me up one day and said that Jamie, who we had already collaborated with on a different song, Jamie had written verses to it. And I was like, cool, let me hear it. And played it for me, and it sounded great. And he was like, I think I already got it in the spot, in a trailer, movie trailer. And I was like, oh, dope, awesome. And it was in this trailer for a movie that's just now coming out, Project Almanac, it's also used in the end of the movie too, and that was the first kind of placement for it. And then it just, I think, I heard a story, so Brett Ratner, who's the director of Hercules, really, he heard the song somehow and really loved it, and The Rock heard it and really loved it, and they wanted to use it in the movie. And it was through Brett, according to this story, there are a couple different stories. It was through Brett. Brett brought it to Jimmy Iovine, who also has a very close relationship with Alex the Kid. Jimmy used to run Interscope, and Jimmy is one of the heads of Beats. And Jimmy heard the song and was like, "This will be great for the campaign for the World Cup ad," and they put it in that ad, and that was kind of a perfect storm of a great song and a big placement during a big international kind of event. And also the commercial itself was so good. This guy Nabil, who's an incredible director, shot it. And it was just a great commercial, and everyone was kind of like, oh my God, this is incredible. And our song happened to be in it too. So that kind of opened the doors. And after that, you know, our publishing company would get in touch with us and say, like, guys, we're getting requests for songs like your song, using your song as an example, because they can't afford you anymore, because this was just like everywhere. And it's cool, you know, it was very, very awesome. Very cool to see that happen. And then we did a tour with Jamie, a co-headline tour this past fall that went really, really well, supporting the song. And yeah, it was an incredible thing. Jay-Z did a remix of it during the World Cup, which was like a dream come true for all of us. And you know, we're all huge hip-hop guys, and Jay-Z is like, you know, one of our top five favorite artists.
Yeah.
You know, he's a legend. So that was just like out of this world cool. But yeah, that's the story.
Yeah, I always like hearing from people when there's like that moment of things happening. You know, you go through so many years of like kind of things not working.
Oh yeah.
And when it happens, do you have any other moments like that that were just like something that when you get the phone call or whatever, you get that message?
Well,
it's just like, we're doing it for real now.
Yeah, well, when we first got signed, it was kind of like that. It happened very fast. We had been doing everything on our own for about a year, and then one of our songs got picked up on this radio station down south, and then the guys from Imagine Dragons heard a different song of ours when they were down in that town. So the radio guys were driving them around, and one of the Dragons guys asked them what they were listening to, and they were like, this band Ambassadors. We were called Ambassadors at the time, before the X.
And it was the time before the X.
And they played the guys in Imagine Dragons this song of ours, and they all loved it and showed it to Alex the Kid, who eventually signed us. And that all happened very, very quickly, and it kind of like remotely, you know, we were just in New York, like, what's going on? And we were on the phone with Alex and on the phone with, you know, Dan Reynolds from Imagine Dragons, who is the executive producer on both of our two EPs and will be on our record as well. And that all happened just very quickly, you know, we had put in so much work before then, you know, it's always kind of funny how those things happen. And it's kind of surreal, too. It seems like this intangible thing that you're talking about. It's like, okay, now why do you guys care? You
right.
it's always a little weird.
But. Yeah, that's interesting how you say, like, now why. Do you ever get a feeling of, like, I've had this sometimes when, like, something really good is going to happen, and you're just, like, you're so used to, as any type of artist or creative person, is so used to rejection and things not working that like it often seems like you're gonna, you know, you get this good news and you're waiting for someone to say like, just kidding, like that.
Yeah, but
sorry,
you know,
that was
what?
A joke. That
I feel like it's important to try and get over that as quickly as you can, because the more you get into this, like, oh well, you know, I'm just gonna like expect the worst,
right,
and the more you get into that, it kind of can snowball into that negativity pouring into your work, and it's very easy to do that. It's very easy to operate like that, because then you don't have to worry. It's a way of coping with that rejection, you know. But for me personally, and I think for us collectively as a band, we are starting to learn to just kind of like roll with the punches and see these things as great opportunities, and that is that. That's it. And if something happens, great. But you know, the mere fact that we are here, playing shows, doing what we want to do,
we're getting paid for this shit. Like,
yeah,
it's cool.
It's
very cool. That's all you can really ask for. And we are there right now, and you know, we plan on being here because this is all we know how to do, and it's all we will ever do. So
yeah, and that's like you say, you're just getting paid for this. And what we just talked about before we were rolling here, as I mentioned, there's people. It's 2:00 in the afternoon. There's people lined up outside the venue waiting. You know, it's freezing cold out right now.
That's
you know, it's like,
about.
And now that this room's going to be full in a few hours, it's like, you're going to be up there. So it's pretty cool to see things happen like that. And you guys, the rest of you guys can jump in on this one, I think. let's hear a good story. Maybe bounce around a quick one from each of you guys. Your favorite story from out on the road or on the tour or experience with playing with bands, some bands that you look up to or whatever, whatever you want to kind of punch in there.
Cool. I'll go first. I think the coolest for us, for me personally, was when we were opening for Imagine Dragons on their arena tour.
Yeah.
And we were in Seattle. I forget the name of the arena, but it's where the Sonics used to play and where I think they still have a WNBA team. And they, first off, it was insane playing at an arena just at all. But also they wheeled out the basketball hoop and we got to play
nice.
on the floor of the stadium. So I think for me that was the highlight this far, probably, as a cool like tour story of getting to
what's that and again you guys can jump in on this that feeling of going from playing to venues where you can kind of feel where your crowd is and ends.
Yeah.
How's that change when you walk out onto an arena stage and it's just literally an endless
It's insane. And it's also not full because when you're the first band, an arena takes hours to fill.
Right.
You just can't let that many people in through a doorway at once.
Yeah.
It's like, so they usually open the doors 30 minutes to an hour before and then people are kind of coming in. So in some places, they opened the doors early and it was completely full.
Yeah.
Pretty much only once. And then sometimes it would be like a quarter full and then by the time you're done, it's half way to three quarters full. So it's really a big, there's more of a disconnect for sure.
Yeah.
It's funny too. We started playing these arena shows right when we were switching over from playing with, you know, speaker monitors to these crazy in-ear monitors too. So all of a sudden, not only is the crowd further away and bigger, but it's also, we can't hear them as well anymore. So it's it was tough to adjust to. I guess it's the case in any opening show where you don't get as much energy from the crowd as you put out. But for a while it was a definite adjustment to learn that you had to just, you know, keep kicking ass even if you didn't hear a peep out of the audience. You know, you just had to keep going. You know, there were people out there who were loving it. You just, even if you couldn't see or hear them, you know, it was there.
That goes back to what we were saying earlier, which is kind of not listening to the stupid voice inside your head of rejection or whatever, kind of having faith in what you're doing
and going
out, like I said, kind of kicking ass
no matter what
you see out there. It's a black wall. No, there's something behind that. People are loving it.
Yeah, man. And even if it's only certain people in the audience, you're definitely, like, it's, as long as you're reaching some people, you know, that's what counts.
Yeah. We have some more tour stories here?
Yeah, Casey, do you have a tour story?
Oh, I don't know. Hold on. I had one, but I've forgotten it now. I have a pretty bad short-term memory.
I got a tour story. I don't know if it's my favorite story, but we were booking it to get to a festival show in Germany somewhere. And we basically picked the, or we had to travel on the weekend where everyone is going back to school or from school or something like that. So there's just ridiculous stop and go traffic on the interstates or whatever you want to call it over in Europe.
Autobahn.
Yeah.
Shows how much I've been over here. But
three or four times.
Shows how much I pay attention. But so we end up missing our time slot by 5 minutes. We get there and they say, oh, you were supposed to play 5 minutes ago. I'm sorry. We couldn't switch you with another person. So we're all super bummed. We are like, okay, we'll just go back to our hotel. So we go back to the hotel and 5 blocks away from this hotel, we stumble upon this crazy Lederhosen beer and chicken and pretzels and this authentic German festival, street fair, or whatever you want to call it. And so we ended up having this, for lack of a better word, really authentic experience.
Awesome.
German experience, and it was sort of like a solace to our to our lack of show.
Yeah, that's a big part about being on tour is that you get to go and experience all these little weird places in the world. That was definitely a unique experience that stands out in my mind too. Also, the scenery around that festival was like, it was like crazy. It was like Sound of Music. It was insane. I mean, we've had so many weird tour stories. It's horrible. The ones that stick out the most in my mind are the really, like, crazy bad ones, where it's just funny in retrospect. Like, we played this festival in Norfolk, Virginia. There was a radio festival for that radio station that kind of got things going for us, and we got there. We were one of the first bands to play, and it was in this amphitheater, this outdoor amphitheater, but there was like a roof on it, and it was a beautiful day. It was in the summertime. It was hot, and we were stoked to play this outdoor show. And then 5 minutes before we go on, this crew guy, this like panicked looking guy, runs in and is like, "Oh, hey, it's pouring rain outside. You guys might want to move some of your stuff off stage." And I was like, "Oh shit." And so I get up and run out there, and it is like horizontally pouring onto the stage, like torrential rain.
Oh, again, it's set up and on, and like,
right, yeah. It's all set up and on, and no one is doing anything. These stage hands are standing there, like, just like dumbfounded. So I'm running out there, frantically unplugging everything and screaming like, "Help me! Help me!" And no one's doing anything. And then we got all of our stuff out, and later on, because one of our keyboards wasn't working, we wanted to test all the equipment, so we brought it to our hotel. And in this lobby, it was just us and this poor girl working at the counter, and we were like, "Hey, can we set up some of our stuff?" And we plugged in our entire setup.
Like, we started loading into the lobby.
Yeah, we loaded all our gear into this hotel lobby, and
we were
like
hair drying all that shit off.
Yeah, it was really pretty crazy.
Good times, man.
Yeah, that's good. And we just got word you guys have to do sound check and stuff now. So we got 5 minute warning about 5 minutes ago. Why don't you guys do a quick little wrap up and say what you know. I know you guys are going out on finishing up this tour.
Yeah.
Which we're backstage right now with the Andrew McMahon tour. And you guys are heading out soon for support for the Lights tour.
Yeah, so in the beginning of February, we're going to be going out on the road again with Lights. We've toured with her in the past. She's amazing. We're going to be opening for her on her Little Machines tour. And that goes through mid-March. And then after that, we're going to head straight down to Austin, Texas for South by Southwest. We're playing a bunch of festivals this year. We're doing Oshiega in Canada. We're doing Bonnaroo here. We're doing a couple others. Do you remember?
I forget the names, unfortunately.
There's a couple of other big festivals that we're
doing. There's a bunch of them.
Big Guava in
Florida. Yeah, Big Guava. We're doing one down in Mexico called Los Cabos Green Fest. And we're putting our full length out this year. We don't have a date yet, but it's going to be probably sometime around April, May that it's coming out. We've got a bunch of new material we're really excited about, and this is going to be a very, very, very busy year for us. So
it's good.
Yeah.
And where can we look you up? Website, Twitter, Instagram,
yeah,
Snapchat.
All that stuff. Yeah, we're on Snapchat now too. You go to xambassadors.com. There are links to all of our social media pages. It's all pretty much with the / xambassadors. So facebook.com/xambassadors. Twitter, it's @xambassadors. Instagram, it's xambassadors.
You get the general idea.
Yeah.
xambassadors.com.
xambassadors.com. Yeah.
Hit up the website, find it out.
Yeah, cool. Yeah. Awesome. Great. Thank you so much.
Good. Yeah. Thanks for taking a little bit of time out here.
No worries.
Thanks.
No worries.
There it is. Thanks again to ex-ambassadors for hanging out with me, sharing some stories, and thank you also to you for listening to my show. As always, you can listen to my show on my website, which is chrisruggiero.com/podcast, or you can find it on iTunes in the iTunes store by searching Chris Ruggiero Podcast. I'll let these guys play it out with their song, The Business, and as always, for some sweet shirts, check out BetweenDreamsClothing.com. Catch you later.
Thank you for listening to the Chris Ruggiero Podcast.